administration's meeting Wednesday, February 21st, 2024, at 6 p.m. That's our order. We have Alderman Cordios, Alderman Koch, Alderman Merrick, city staff, and I see no citizens in the room, no citizens in Zoom land, right? Excellent. So I assume then no citizen comments. We next have minutes for correction or approval from our last meeting, December 20th, 2023.
All good.
Yep. All good. All right. Minutes approved as presented. And on to new business item here, ABM 2024-01, budget reports for December 2023 and January 2024.
Bart, we can't hear you.
Just talking away
there, you know,
into the silence. Yeah, so I pulled up the sales tax info. So the 406,000 that's in the, I think it's in the December column there. I'm still trying to flip to the exact page. so that's October consumer sales. That is 9% up from the year prior. So that's definitely a little bit of an anomaly there. You know, my guess is that, you know, the Christmas creep, especially with online purchase, continues to move forward. So we've seen that in the past, like, 10 years where purchases have went from December to November and now to October. So that's good news. And then let me pull up my little chart here on the next month, do a quick calculation. That number at 394,000 is significantly up. It is... like another 8% or so up again. So for the year, you know, in the budget proposal that we're finalizing, we're tracking at about 3 or 4%. We budgeted for 2%. So obviously, you know, that's worth, you know, something by the end of the day. And then here in the next like 2-3 weeks, we should get our December consumer sales here too. So things still continuing to trend in a positive direction as it relates to sales tax, which is nice. A couple other just revenues I wanted to point out, you know, aside from the annual audit report that we do, you know, amusement tax and admissions tax, very strong. Raging Waves had another, you know, kind of good year. So as they continue to expand, you know, you're getting up there with the admissions tax. Which again is rebated 100% to the developer, but it's, you know, indicative of how they're doing. You know, is getting to be material dollar amounts, a couple $100,000 per year and growing, which is nice. And then obviously the income taxes, which you'll see in the budget proposal. You know, IML puts out their annual estimates of, you know, $145, $150, and they significantly or recently. Have been, you know, significantly overperforming those estimates. So $155, $160 per person. So, you know, even without doing a special census, that ends up resulting in a couple $100,000 in, you know, unplanned revenue. So that's another, you know, just another notch, basically, in our positive fiscal bill. So other than that, wasn't too much in the expenditure side. If anybody has any questions about department performance, I'm happy to take them.
Fund month ending December 31st, 2023, beginning fund balance of $24,526,776. Year-to-date revenues of $45,053,194. Year-to-date expenses of $33,783,330 for a projected ending fund balance of $35,796,640. For the month ending January 31st, 2024, beginning fund balance of $24,526,776. Year-to-date revenues of $47,471,996. Year-to-date expenses of $37,187,247 for a projected ending fund balance of $34,811,525.
Good. Consent agenda.
Okay.
Perfect. Thanks, Rob.
Sure.
ABM 2024-03, new business item number 3, cash statement for November of 2023.
This is informational, as always. Cash balances for the city are just the $10 million under $35 million at the end of November 30th of 2023. And we have investments of about $3.9 million.
Questions? Okay. Excellent. Another quick one for you there. Thanks, Rob.
Sure.
Next, four related new business items, 4A through 4D, I believe, which are bills list invoices between $5,000 and
So again, this is informational. As always, these are bills between $5,000 and $25,000 that have been previously presented to the council in December, January, and our first meeting in February. So if there's any questions, we have to answer.
Do you have any looking through?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And as always, this is fun where we give Rob a break. Perfect. Thanks, Rob. New business item number five, ADM 2024-05, monthly website report for December of 2023 and January 2024.
And see, historically, we always hit kind of rock bottom with our website viewership in December, and then we start creeping up in January with new events. So that has maintained the course this year as well. And our social media is doing wonderfully. Although Google Analytics has kept us out of more and more things, you see a lot of NAs on what we used to see in the past, but still shows us that we do have a lot of hits, that we do have a lot of people pointing towards Facebook to our website, which is exactly what our goal is, so that they don't have to click around on the website, so they can find it in one spot. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I have none, other than whether or not we're thinking that MC Squared is going to be our highest hit post for February.
I would agree.
Bart can tell you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks,
Aaron. It's a crowd pleaser, what can we say?
Yeah, I know. It's definitely a good one. So, perfect. All right, and new business item number six, ADM 2024-06, a revision of Section 4.1 vacation leave for the City of Yorkville Employee Manual.
Okay, so this one's a bit of a moving target. This is a state law that basically requires all employers, we're included, to give at least 40 hours of paid leave, you know, to full-time people. And additionally, you know, a certain amount of hours, depending on hours worked for part-time people. So the state, in its infinite wisdom, you know, has passed this really with probably not much discussion on how this should be implemented, making it basically an unfunded mandate that now towns and businesses across the state are scrambling to address. So in general, there's no requirement for us to give additional hours as long as we meet the threshold under the policy of 40 hours. So that threshold, though, requires 40 hours of paid leave to be used for any purpose whatsoever. So we generally grant between 80 and 200 hours in vacation time, which can be used for any purpose. And so that generally satisfies the ordinance at the highest, or the state law at the highest level. But there are some nuances in there, and that requires us to basically modify the, you know, our employee manual. So we're creating a separate pool of this paid leave time, and it's just going to be very clear in there. That way, there's no issues with the law that you know, employees are granted this time. They can be used for any reason, and this is how it's basically administered on our end. So the rub is that the city has to grant 40 hours of, you know, paid leave, you know, which is unfettered in its use, you know, to all full-time employees as of January 1st. The policy has to be in effect before end of February, so we still have some time there. But what happens is, the way we do our vacation accruals, it's based on an anniversary date rather than a calendar year. So we track that through our system. And, you know, if your anniversary date is end of March or in June, for instance, if somebody has used up all of their vacation day from, like, their anniversary year, from, like, June of last year, you know, if they used it all up in December, let's say, they have no vacation left. Technically, we'd be in violation of the state law until their anniversary date comes up again in June. So we are mulling ways to address that are not represented in the written policy, because Aaron and I were working with our labor attorney even this afternoon, basically to create some language in there. So there are some ideas that I have that I don't know are legal, so we're reviewing those. But in general, it could be anything from, you know, do we have to just give employees hours, and then can we take them away later so that they're not out of the hours per se, but, you know, for book tracking purposes, they've got hours to access if they need to until their anniversary date. You know, are there ways that we can, you know, reclassify some hours and grant them earlier? You know, so we're looking at different things like that. But the intent is that, like, somebody who's worked here for, let's say, 4 years, and they're granted 120 hours of vacation time or whatever, you know, we're going to have to amend the policy so that instead of 120 hours of vacation time, you get 40 hours of paid leave time and you get 80 hours of vacation time, which are going to have different rules for how they get paid out and get rolled over, et cetera. So the goal is, and I don't know if we're going to get there, but we're trying, is that our existing policies will be stay the same going forward, with tracking, anniversary dates, rollover, cash out, etc. for employees, so that they're not detrimented in any way by the policy and the machinations of the policy that we have to do as a result of the state law. But we don't know that yet for sure. So, like, the you know, the section 4.1 in the exhibit that Erin attached to her memo generally lays out this new paid leave, and basically it just says, you know, every year employees are going to get 40 hours, and they can use it for whatever reason they want, and they can cash it out or roll over. And then the vacation section, which already exists, you know, we've got a bunch of amendments to the policy, and basically it's taking 40 hours of vacation and turning it into paid leave, so that people still will have, you know, the same amount of annual hours to be used. It's just called something different in order to accommodate the law. So, but there's, again, I mentioned that, you know, what if somebody has used up all their vacation time before January 1st? What happens in these next few months? Those things I have to button up here before Tuesday. But that's the gist of it. I will throw out a silver bullet that would be a significant benefit to employees that I'm not necessarily recommending yet, but it could be a solution if we didn't want to go through this, if it ends up being too much difficult. You know, the issue is basically in this first year only. You know, next year when this comes up, it's not an issue because we'll have been in a year, so employees will have met the policy by having access to an adequate amount of minimum, you know, paid leave and vacation hours under the law. So it's just this year. Theoretically, we could say all the full-time employees, you all get 40 hours of paid leave time for this 1 year only. It's a bonus. Congratulations. Use it or lose it type of a thing and move on with our life. But that would be a 2-3% you know, increase in the salary line item, theoretically. It would probably be a couple $100,000. So we're not necessarily recommending that at this point, although that is an ultimate solution down the road. So that is to say that the policy that's in there is generally good. You know, the one thing I wanted to point out is our existing policies, like if you have, let's say, 120 hours of vacation per year, they are use it or lose it, except you can roll over 40 hours per year and you can cash out up to 40. So if you've got 120 accrued, you can pay 40, you can roll 40, and then you can use 40. And then if you don't, you know, if you only use 20 and you pay 40 and roll over 40, then you lose 20. We want to keep that basically going forward. So I think the way that it's drafted now will have to change, because it says you could roll 40 of the paid leave, you can roll 40 of the vacation. So theoretically, you could roll and, you know, pay out like 160 hours per year, which we don't want to do just for budget purposes. So we're going to have to make that amendment and then figure out what we're doing for this interim year. So and then just to kind of piggyback on that comment about the interim year, the same exact illustration exists for a new hire. So that, and this might be an easier way to explain it than I probably should have started with. So if we hire somebody today, and, you know, under our current policy, technically you would work for an entire year, okay? At 6 months, you would get access to 40 hours of vacation, and then at a year, you get access to another 40 hours of vacation. So you get your 80 hours, you know, in total by the time you work here for a year. So the policy says currently, and one of the ways that you have to do it in order to comply with the law, is that you have to give somebody 40 hours of paid leave basically on day one that they work. So you can somehow restrict them from using it until 90 days after they're hired, but you have to have them, you know, have access to those 40 hours. So that's the issue that we get into, is because it's the first year. You know, you've got people who have used all their vacation that have worked here for years, don't have access to 40, and so we're out of compliance with the policy and the law. And then you have people who are going to be hired new. Technically, they wouldn't get any vacation until like the 6 month period. So that's what we're trying to do. So we're trying to just amend the policy so that in the future, instead of having to work here for 6 months and then you get 40 hours of vacation, you technically would get that 40 hours of vacation on day one. You wouldn't be able to use it until day 90. But that's what the policy allows. So we're trying to just shift up, you know, vacation accruals in order to comply with the law. So a long-winded and very confusing way to explain what the state has done, but that's what we're in, and we're probably at the 95th percentile for having the language completed. I'm hoping to have it done by tomorrow. That way, when it's in the city council packet for your approval, you've got multiple days to review what the actual policy is versus me just saying this. That's where we're at.
A couple questions. First thing, so how does this work for union employees? Because they have a preset agreement, right? And so how does that play into all this?
Because Aaron, I didn't look into that specifically. I assumed that it would be the same for non-union employees and union employees, or
it is not. So
doesn't apply to them at all?
It does not apply to them at all, and it can be negotiated into the next contract if the union brings it up, but it does not apply to the union employees.
So they gave a benefit to non-union employees throughout the state, not union employees.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, because they have a contract that you'd have to reopen the contract then.
Makes it easier on us. I don't know why they didn't think to do that, because it seems like that would be the way that they would prefer to go in general, but, you know, what do I know? So.
And the other question I had was, so when you say paid time off, is that's considered like sick leave? Because you mentioned
paid. The one thing I have to figure out with the labor, the intent of the law is that you can't create these, like, narrowly used time off, like sick leave only, and then give that to employees and satisfy the law. It's supposed to be for any reason. So if you want to take a vacation for 40 hours, great. If you want to take sick time, that's great. If you have bereavement issues or whatever, it's just supposed to be, you get access to a pot of 40 hours that you can use for whatever reason. Technically, the way our vacation is drafted, you can use it for any reason. If you're sick, if you want to take it for bereavement, if you just want like time off, like you don't have to justify it to us. It's more of a scheduling thing. So I think the intent of vacation time, at least according to our policy, if it's not written in stone, complies with the law, but the timing of it doesn't work. And we're probably just going to default to making it super explicit, calling it paid leave time. That way there's no questions in the future.
Excellent. So I think it'll beg a little additional discussion next week. So,
yeah, if it's okay, just I'd recommend putting it on the regular agenda. No recommendation attached specifically, and then we'll see what comes up today and tomorrow.
I think it makes sense. I mean, Ken would prefer consent.
standard. You need one.
I sure I do need one. So, I like when John reads all my motions. So. All right. I think that is the last thing that we have. Just double check in here. No old business. Is there any additional business? All right. We're all good. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to a close at 6:18.